Read the verses, the story that Jesus told. It's called a parable, all right? A parable is like a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, okay? There is just a normal story. And then from that story, I'm supposed to learn some things about God. So we're going to start reading in verse 35. I'll let you find it. Verse 35. We're just going to read the story, and I'm going to let you tell me something you learned from it before we deal with Peter, all right? Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or the third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now stop right there. There's the lesson. There's the parable. There's the heavenly story with the earthly story with the heavenly meeting. What did you hear Jesus say? What did you hear God teach us? Let's grow in knowledge. What did we learn? Be prepared. Be prepared for what? The return of Jesus. Jesus is coming back one day, and we need to be ready. Now, the fact that the people he's talking to, he's not even left them yet. So when he leaves them, what do they expect? Remembering this story, what do they expect? It could be coming pretty quick, right? They tell stories about they used to come to the crossroads of a road and look both ways to see, maybe they'd see him walking, or they'd watch every cloud in the sky to see if he was in that one to come get him. Well, that's been over 2,000 years, and you know what we've kind of gotten used to? He's not coming. We make fun of people who think they know he's coming. We'll mock somebody who says, oh, I know, on this date, we've done it. On this date, this year, he's going to come. Now, a bunch of people start freaking out. But those of us who are very spiritual, and those of us who are very mature, and those of us who are very churchgoers and have this Bible knowledge, we start making fun of them and say things like this, no man knows the hour. But we act like we know he's not coming on that hour, which makes no sense to me at all. What did I learn? What did God tell me in this parable? Be ready. Jesus is coming. What's he telling us? Yeah, whether it's his return that stops my time in this world or my death that stops his time in the world, I need to be ready. Be watchful. Be ready. What else? What do you learn? Anybody else? Got another lesson?
Be diligent. Keep after it. Give up the daily work.
Ooh, good point. Good point. Glad somebody noted it. He says, you be diligent, you be prepared to keep doing your daily work. How many of us in this room, it's affected us? We think, well, I'm going to be moving, or I'm going to be getting married, or I'm going to be getting a new job, or I'm going to be whatever. And what do? We'll stop. I've known some of it. We'll quit our jobs. We won't pay our bills because we're leaving. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, no. You keep doing what you're supposed to do every day, and even if it's the second or the third watch in the night. Now, what time is that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. You can look it up if you want to. It doesn't matter, does it? Even if it's in the middle of the night, what are we supposed to be doing? Taking care of our responsibilities, because the Master is coming home. Now, I do hope you noticed. I'm going to throw this one in before we shift gears. What does the Master do for the servant who he finds doing what he was supposed to do? He will serve them. Does it ever happen? Does it ever happen? Do you ever see in Peter's life Jesus serve him? He washed his feet in that what time we call the Last Supper, which was really the First Supper. And what about when they fixed breakfast for him on the beach in John 21? Jesus serves. Jesus wants to serve. He wants to bless us. And at least twice he said, it is good. It is good. You want to know what's good? What's good is doing what you're supposed to do, taking care of your responsibilities. Well, I hear people that usually come out of a very spiritual Bible training kind of background. I want to do something good for the Lord. I want to do something great for the Lord. I want to do something wonderful for the Lord. I love that. I love that ambition. I love that desire. Guess what's good? What's good? Take care of your stuff. Take care of your responsibilities. Get up in the morning. Take care of your job. Take care of your health. Take care of your mate. Take care of your bills. Take care of the stuff you're supposed to do. And that the master sees as good. All right, now look at verse 41. And I have no interest in making fun of Peter. I don't know if Peter should have understood this. I just know the Bible makes a point of letting me know Peter is the one that asked the question. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Now hang on a second. Why do you think he maybe asked that question? What are you saying? What do you think? Why is he asking? Who's the audience? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to everybody else? Because honest, and I don't know if that's just was in Peter's heart, but I've gone to church long enough to know, you know how we treat lessons in church? I love you, but I know this about us. I know this about it. You know how we treat lessons in church? Exactly. That's exactly the attitude. Boy, I hope old Leland was listening to that one. Man, I hope old Stephen picked up on that. And I've heard people, in this room, I've heard people say that. Oh, that was such a good lesson. I sure do hope my daughter was listening. I sure hope my mother was listening. I sure hope my husband was. Are we kidding? It's like playing dodgeball at church. He almost got me with that one. Woo, he almost got me with that verse. I don't know what was in Peter's heart, but I know what's in mine, and I know what's in ours sometimes. We want to know if everybody else is listening to the stuff they ought to hear. The truth is, when Jesus speaks, who's he speaking to? Answer it correctly. Say it one more time. Me. He's talking to me, y'all. And if I don't approach it that way, and if you don't approach it that way, then we're missing the point. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is we take His lessons to heart. We take them personal. This is what Jesus wanted Peter to hear. This, if He wanted Peter to hear it, He wants me to hear it. And if you're listening too, that's good too, but He wants me to hear this. And the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager? I like both those words. I'd underline them if I had a pen. I want to be faithful to God, and I want to be wise, don't you? I want to be a faithful person. I want to be dependable. I want to be wise. I want to make the best choices. Now, folks, hang on a second. Do you understand the significance of those words? Josh is talking about he's at a place where he's having to rebuild his life, start a job again, find a place to live again, put the kids back together again. You start rebuilding your life, what do you got to do? You got to be faithful. You got to be dependable. You got to keep doing the same things the same way every day. Take care of business, because that's how people begin to trust you again. That's how you begin to build some credibility again. Kelly knows this. You, you plant a tree in one spot, and a week later you come back and plant it in another spot. And a week later you come pick it up and you plant it in another spot. What happens to the tree? It'll die because it doesn't stay rooted. That's what faithful is. It's stay rooted. Be faithful and wise. You and I know a little bit about wise from reading the Proverbs. It means that we respect God, that we respect what God has to say about things. I want to be that kind of man. Well, who then is this fellow whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? I'd like to know. I want to be that guy. It will be good. Circle it. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Underline the phrase doing so. What does Jesus expect of us? What does Jesus expect of us from this parable? Only from this parable. What does Jesus expect of us? Doing what we're supposed to do. Doing what He's given us the responsibility to do. One more time. What's the one thing that the Master wants us to do? Doing what He's given us the responsibility to do. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yes, you do. Right? We get all, and we don't have a large number of us in here that have been influenced this way. There's enough of us, though, that I need to mention it. Some of us came out of religious training and religious schools that taught us to be, I'm going to overuse the word. They taught us to be spiritual. Now, here's what that meant. To be spiritual meant that you do things in a certain kind of way, that you seek this hidden secret wisdom of God for your life. I spent years of my life in prayer and, quote, spiritual disciplines, trying to discover the unrevealed will of God for my life. And in one blunt, focused statement from a wise old man, I changed my whole thinking. Well, it started changing my whole thinking about that approach. He said, I've heard you pray. He said, you pray, God, reveal your will to me. Reveal what you want for my life. Please, God. He said, guys, you're begging God to reveal His will for you, some secret will for your life, when you won't obey the one that's already been written and is plainly revealed to you already. He looked at us and he said, what makes you think that you'll obey the written, unwritten, secret will of God for your life when you won't obey the revealed, plainly revealed will of God for your life? Duh. Yeah. I don't know what God has in mind for me. I don't have to know. Can God take care of where I get there? Can God take care of me when I get there? What do I need to do? I need to do what He has given me the responsibility to do today. Does that make sense? Today. Have I got a job? Then I get up and go to work. If I don't have a job, go get a job. Right? If I've got an assignment at school, I take care of that assignment. If I've got a mate, I take care of that mate. If I've got kids, I take care of those kids. I have an assignment from God. That's my assignment. Oh God, what is your will for me? Do your job. And that is good for that servant when he finds you doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth. Now look at this promise. This is a big deal here. I tell you the truth, he will put you in charge of all of his possessions. This is not the parable where it's taught, but here the principle is here. Later, and we won't get there yet, but he will say, those who have been given much, those who have been faithful in little will be made faithful in much. If I can't handle the little bit of money I make on my paycheck, what makes you think I can handle that lottery when I win it? If I won't be faithful and generous in what God has given me, how do I know that I would do differently if He gives me more? Does that make sense? I talked to a kid in jail. He's 16. I think he's got two or three kids. Can't remember if it's two or three already. And he tells me he wants another one. So when I get out, man, I'm going to go get my girlfriend pregnant. I'm going to have another baby. And I looked at him and I said, are you taking care of the first three? What do you mean? I said, are you paying child support? You taking them to school? You teaching them how to talk right and be courteous to older people? You teaching them? No, I'm not around them. That's right. So if you can't take care of the ones you have, why would you want another? Does that make sense? We be responsible for what God has given us. If you can't take care of the wife you got, don't be looking around for another one. If you can't take care of the husband you want, you better focus on him. Because that other guy, you may not be able to take care of him. You know what I mean? So let's do what God has given us responsibility to do. Keep reading. But, circle that word, because that means something's fixing to shift here. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. Now stop a second. Why would anybody ever do that? Why would anybody ever do that? Can't imagine. Why would anybody ever do that? The master's not here. There's no consequences. Why would anybody do that?
Kick back and enjoy life.
I get so tired of having to do what I have to do. I hear it. I hear it in this room. I just get so bored. I've got to do. Boredom is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to us, folks. Because when we start feeling bored, what do we think we need to do? Let's do something exciting. And when we do something exciting, what happens? Dun, 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 dun. It's not good. It's not good. Couple says to me, we're young. We get tired of staying at home because we don't have any money. So we got somebody to watch the kids and we went to the club. I can tell you the outcome. They don't have to finish the sentence. What do I know is going to come? There's drama. There's trouble. Why? Because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. I don't know why we get tired of... Yeah, I do too. We get tired of doing the same old thing every time. But honest, if I chose the job and the job pays me, shouldn't I keep doing it? If I chose the mate... Shouldn't I keep taking care of the mate? If I decided to have those children's, I need to keep taking care of those children's, right? I don't know that I like that. Well, a little too late now. You're going to be a good servant. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. And when it takes longer than you think, when it's harder than you thought it was going to be, and there's nobody ever gotten married that doesn't learn that lesson pretty quick. Right? And John just said amen a little too loud. All right? Almost got hands laid on him. Yeah. You get tired. You want to quit. This master, watch what happens. The master, verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour that he is not aware. Folks, what happens to the master, what happens to the servant? Now, you got to read it so you know I'm not making it up. What happens to the servant that is not faithful? What happens to the servant that is not wise? What happens to the servant that refuses to do what the master gave him the authority and the responsibility to do? He will be cut to pieces and assigned him a place with unbelievers. Ouch. Verse 47, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready and does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Who's that apply to? It applies to me. me maybe more so than anybody else in this room, because I was given privilege beyond anybody in here to spend years of my life where I didn't have any other job other than getting to know God's Word and to teach it to other people. I knew God's Word, and what did I do? I decided not to do what the Master said. What do I deserve? To be beaten with many blows. And I thank God for His grace. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for Jesus. But that's what I deserve. Now keep reading. But the one who does not know and who does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. Okay, now is there comfort there? Is there any comfort there? You're still going to be beaten, right? I don't remember ever counting the number of licks that my mother or dad gave me. I wanted the less, so you betcha I started squalling before they started, hoping to turn their minds from their vengeance. I didn't worry. Well, I'm going to hit you 3 times. Can we make it 1? You don't like being beaten with blows. Now, I got to be honest with you. Several of us went to church all our lives. How many times in Bible class have we gotten to this verse and spent the entire class period on talking about degrees of punishment in hell? I have heard preachers preach whole sermons about when you go to hell, there's some people that are going to burn worse than other people. Is there comfort in burning less than somebody else? And I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm ashamed of those conversations now. And I wish now I could go back and say to the fellow that started the conversation, what are you talking about? He's not talking to everyone. He's talking to me. And he's telling me, Rex, you know what the Master wants. So what should you be doing? You should be doing it. Does it matter if there's degrees of hell, degrees of punishment in hell? No. What matters is I'm going to do the will of God. Well, you know, if I'm not going to be beaten very bad, maybe I just... No, that's not what we think. Because the truth is, for me, I don't have that option. And to be honest, you don't either. Because you know what the Master expects. Keep reading. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I know what that means to me. I'll let you draw the conclusion. For me, it means much will be demanded. Yeah, but that's not fair. That's a foolish talk. It wasn't fair. It was grace that gave me these good things. Why can now I'm going to turn it around and say, well, it's not fair to expect more of me? Well, I don't think people ought to demand so much. I'm not worried about what they expect. I'm not worried about what they demand. I need to be concentrating on what He demands. Peter says, Lord, you talking to everybody? Or are you talking to me? Jesus is talking to me. And he says, Rex, much was given to you. Much will be demanded. Much was entrusted to you. Much will be demanded. If you're thinking the same way I'm thinking, I've got plenty of things to think about when I examine myself during the supper. It's time for us to step up, y'all. It's time for me to step up. It's time for me to start living up to what He's demanded of me. It's time for me to step up and start doing what He's entrusted to me. And even if it's hard, even if it's long, even if it's tiring, even if it's demanding, that's the kind of servant He expects me to be.
Said, well, forgive me. somebody that did something against me, you know, it's hard to say, I forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you. I pray for patience. I pray for a lot of things, but I don't pray to be gracious. I guess I need to, is there any practical way to grow in grace on a daily basis besides prayer? Or just try to start practicing it?
Well, I appreciate it. And we're going to spend some time here, y'all, and then we'll eat our supper. Bob says, I need to grow in that grace. I need to learn to be gracious toward other people. And he asked a question. He said, how does that happen? How does that take place? There's lots of places you can look in Scripture, and I'm certainly not the example of it, but there's a place in Scripture that really helps me. And so I'm going to mention it to Bob, and then Bob and I can visit about it, but it may help you as well. But in the book of Romans, if you start in chapter 12, verse 1, he talks about how we give our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the start of all of this, y'all. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. So we say, God, and we sacrifice the members of our bodies to Him. I mean, really. It's these hands are now your hands. These feet are your feet. This body, this mind, these skills, they're yours. Do with them what you want to. That is my holy worship to God. And then he starts in, it's incredible. I mean, it's a good exercise, y'all. It starts in verse 9 of chapter 12. And through the end of that chapter, he shows you both sides of this. He says you are to hate what's evil, but cling to what is good. I think sometimes we have a hard time being gracious because we don't exactly know when and how to show it. So we have to have some boundaries. Boundaries help you. I'm to hate what is evil, but I'm to cling to what is good. And he says, I'm to serve those who are below me. Well, there's nobody below me. Are you kidding? The truth is, don't we always see, aren't there people that we see that are like less than us? Now, God's not saying that. He's saying that's how we see it. Are there people we see below us? We need to condescend to them. We need to give in to them. We need to take care of them. Romans 12, Bob, and for all of us, is a good exercise in learning to be that living sacrifice. Let's do it now. What do you need to do? Bob says, I need to learn to be more gracious. I need to learn to stop looking at people saying they get what they deserve and not be gracious toward them. What do you need? Right? We build up a bitterness. We build up a grudge. Now, there are people that the Lord will judge. Right? Do we know that? And let the Lord handle that. And Romans 12 will deal with that as well. But if we can stop, if we can let the Lord handle those, then we can start concentrating on the person that we have the most trouble with. And who do you have the most trouble with? The truth is, it's me. I can tell you all day long, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And I've said it here before. It stuck in my brain one time. A guy said, you can affix the blame and not affix the problem. We want to point fingers at what you did wrong, what they did wrong, and I can tell you, and I hear it all the time. You wouldn't believe what she did. You wouldn't believe what he did. Well, you wouldn't believe what they did. And I understand. Sometimes you got to let all that stuff out. But in the end, who is the one person you need to get a hold of and take care of? Me. What do you need to do? What is it you need to do?
And I think that's the peace that we should start for. Because I have prayed, and it's not like I have to forgive everybody who's ever done me wrong, but I'm at peace with so much more of it now. I don't know that you'll ever forget it, with God's grace, you do get a peace about it. And that's where we're to move on. Put what's behind us behind us.
I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, Rex, you talk about you messing up. He said, and this person, not a member of the church, nobody that you would know, recognize, but said, I know for a fact that people mistreated you. And it has been a long time coming, but I said, yeah, but, and I used to, I would have liked that discussion. Yeah, they did. Tell me about, talk about what you saw. And then it dawned on me, I told her, I said, you know, I don't think about that anymore. Honest, I don't think about that anymore. Because I was the one that messed up. The fact that they messed up too, that's their deal. They need to take care of their own stuff. Because I need to take care of me. What do you need to do? Anybody, last call. Before we eat this supper, before we turn our hearts toward Jesus, what do you need to do? You get tired of doing the same thing every day. You don't see any progress. Nobody appreciates. Oh, I hear that one a lot. Nobody appreciates me. What does God think about you? Use words from the parable. What does God think about the servant who gets up every morning and takes care of his business, even if it's in the second and third watch of the night? It is good. That's good. So the Lord, and hopefully other folks recognize it, but the Lord recognizes it for sure. Anybody else?
Surround yourself with quality.
Get good people in your life. Catherine says she wants to be kind to people that are not necessarily nice to her or that she's upset with. Romans 12 is going to really speak to you because it's going to talk about don't return evil for evil, but give good, let good overcome evil. And you be kind even when that person is not. Well, I tell you what, you know what? It'll change your marriage. It'll change your place of business. It changed this world when Jesus worked on that principle. All right, let's eat this supper. Let's think about Jesus. Let's turn our hearts toward Him, and then we'll...